What's up, ladies and gentlemen? This is a Saturday morning special. We are excited to be here. The Miami Dolphins, we lost last night, but why does it feel like we also won? We're going to get into that and more right here on The Collective, but make sure that you hit that like button. Let your friends and family members know about the channel. And boy, oh boy, we got ourselves an elite quarterback. All right, good Malik Willis for MVP. Malik Willis has it. Oh, I got to see the last one. Push it up. Malik Willis is the man. Hey, you know why we put that up? For Omar Kelly to read it. We wanted to make sure he was, you know, getting the lesson for the day. How you feeling, Omar?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I mean, this is not anything that I haven't seen. You know, what's funny about training camp is, and Pupar could testify to this, we've watched now 20 practices. It hasn't always looked the same, but it's always been trending up with the exact same players that played well. Caleb Douglas, Malik Willis, the offensive line has, starting offensive line has looked relatively stable when Austin Jackson is there. But then we get to, you know, the other things that are the other things. And I know you don't want to talk about that, TD. Let's talk about how great Malik Willis is and how wonderful that arm is and how he has. I won't say that.
We're going to get there. Thank you, Alan. You know, what's understood ain't got to be explained. but, Alan, how are you feeling this morning? A beautiful morning, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know that we learned a ton that we didn't already know, like Omar said, from watching practice. And, dude, you know I have been on board the Malik potential train from the start.
On board?
Absolutely. There's a difference. There's a difference. Do not mistake what I've said all along. I said he absolutely has all the traits to be a complete stud. We don't know what it's going to look like when the regular season starts and over 17 games. But if you tell me that you can tell from the start that guy's got something, absolutely. And the depth is absolutely booty cheeks. And there were some guys last night who we thought were like, well, they don't have any depth on the offensive line. At least they got this one guy in the middle of the offensive line as a second teamer who should be solid, who last night to me was like, woof, that was bad. No, I don't want to name any names or point any fingers, but number 60, woof, that was rough.
Number 60. Okay.
Man, that was rough.
Myers Lemon, huh? Myers Lemon. All right. Listen, man. We just heard how Omar feels. We just heard how Alan feels. I just want to take a second to tell everybody how I feel this morning. I feel inspired. Mm-hmm. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I feel inspired. I just kept dreaming about the Super Bowl last night. I just kept dreaming about the Lombardi Trophy being hoisted. But then I woke up. I woke up and reality is real. But what I can tell you is I feel encouraged that this team is headed in the right direction. Regardless of how long this process takes for us to be contenders, we are headed in the right direction, in my opinion. There are some glaring issues that we're going to be discussing this morning, and we're still going to talk about all the beautiful things that we maybe didn't learn last night, but got a little bit more confidence within, okay? Because the longer guys perform and do things, the more we can kind of concretely feel safe to give them official titles. Because a lot of times I'm optimistically speaking about a lot of these guys. But some of these guys are starting to earn that stamp, and we're not going to push the brakes anymore. I got two guys in particular. We ain't pumping no brakes anymore. We're not allowed to pump the brakes on anymore. We're not pumping no brakes on no Caleb Douglas. We're not pumping the brakes on the potential.
I'm going to pump them. Simmer down now. Okay. He made a great catch. Spectacular catch. Number one. Not that it matters because it's still a great catch. It was a DPI on the play anyway. Dolphins were getting the 28 yards. Number two, I'm sorry, but the previous pass thrown to Caleb Douglas was a bad play by the wide receiver because he got wide open. between zones, and he's lost where he was on the field, and he caught the ball with a foot out of bounds. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
He said himself he needs to have better spatial awareness.
Thank you. And also, at what point when do we point out that, yes, Malik Willis looked as good as he could look last night? It was one drive, and it was against the Washington second teamers.
What do you mean, again, as good as he could look? That ain't the ceiling.
No, that wasn't even as good as.
What else could he have done more last night than he did? He was 4 for 5. The winning completion should have been a completion, and he scrambled well. He
told Jeff Hafley to get one more rep.
Yards on the scramble if he had some spatial awareness of where he was along the sideline and contorted his body, and maybe that could have been a run that he would have gained like 5-6 more yards before he got blasted.
Dude yanked him from the back. I mean,
hold on. But did you see how when dude yanked him from the back, he shrugged it off? Chop wouldn't have got that sack, Omar. He wouldn't have got this.
Oh, stop.
That's my point exactly. You see how in real time.
Did you hear Malik complaining about wearing a red jersey and how every minute defensive players talking about it would have been a sack, it would have been a sack, it would have been a sack? I found that so entertaining because literally we sit there in the media contingent, and I never knew that the defensive players call sacks when they're practicing. And it's true because we sit there and we argue whether it would have been a sack or wouldn't. We do that every day, every single day. It's a sack commission.
And what did Malik say in regards to that?
Yes, I'm a little free-handed with the sacks. I am. I'm generous with it.
Yeah, you are very, very generous. And that's the thing. Yes, in practice, you'll see the second a defensive pass rusher gets close to the quarterback, it's like, got him. I mean,
yeah. Or a full extension. Oh, I touched his head. Yeah, sack. Exactly. Like,
it's a sack. Sorry.
If you touch him, it ain't a sack. Stop that mess.
If you touch him, it's a sack. I'm sorry.
I honestly think
that quarterback should wear towels. And if you get the towel, it's a sack.
In real games, guys can't even bring guys down.
Quarterback is wearing. Hold on to the. If you can wipe your hands on the quarterback while he's wearing the towel on the towel while he's
thank
wearing,
you.
That's a sack.
Thank you. Yes, you need time, man. But anywho, man, we're gonna get into it, ladies and gentlemen. Before we do, we want to give a special shout out to our sponsors, and we want to start with none other than SeatGeek. Hold on, is that
shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. They are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app, again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring the video. And also, listen, make sure that you go on to SeatGeek and take advantage of the opportunity, because y'all saw what you saw last night. This team is definitely worth going to a game this season. So go on SeatGeek, get your tickets now so that you can get a great seat to enjoy the team that we all love. All right, man. Willis first. I mean, this is the first real dress rehearsal, you know, and he shines, obviously, and the offense shines. Real quick, we want to start with Allen here. Malik Willis, what did you like about what you saw last night?
What was there not to like? The ball came out on time. It was very accurate. And I will say this also, something else. The great catch by Caleb Douglas. Watch the replay. That dude is really not that open. There was only one spot.
The placement.
Where Malik could place it, and that's exactly where it was. It was basically going to be Caleb makes a great catch or it's incomplete. Because if he underthrows that, it could be a pick or a PBU. So that was an underrated great throw because of the acrobatic catch by Caleb Douglas.
You know what's funny about you saying that, Allen? if he had thrown that like a normal pass in stride for the original angle, interception or pass breakdown, it's one of those throws you look at, why would you even throw that? It wasn't open. But putting that ball high and on the outside where only his guy can get it, I keep telling people that's one thing about Malik Willis's pass is even if they're incomplete, he's going to put it in a place where if the guy can make a heck of a play, he's going to give him that opportunity to, and that's what that throw was for me. But go ahead.
It brought me back to, like, this was what Ryan Fitzpatrick did so well in 2020, is he wasn't afraid, let's put it up, let my receiver make the play. And that's something that didn't really happen the last few years. So that was, and there was right off the bat, Omar, you guys, it's not a shot at anybody. I'm sorry.
Almost a decade.
And then even like right off the bat, he was quick and on time, the quick outs to Malik Washington. It was, again, there was nothing that we saw last night that wasn't like, okay, this is what I want to see, this is what I want to see, this is what I want to see. So it was.
What about you, Omar?
If I had a CR, I'd wear it also.
Thank you. I'm going to get you one, Alan.
I don't want to crown him, but I will say this, and people will know where it's coming from. There are passes that he can make that other people could not.
Like who?
Like Ryan Tannehill. like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Keep going. You got time.
Like John Beck. Like Chad Henne.
Like Skylar Thompson.
Like Skylar Thompson. They're past. Because I said this. I think I said this to y'all the last time we did a show. Like, I really got to figure out how Caleb Douglas is always open. And I'm not sure if Caleb Douglas is always open anymore. Because it's funny. I saw that pass that Caleb Douglas caught in practice too. And I was just like, how is he open? Well, he's open because it's literally a spot that only like
10, only Caleb Douglas can be. It makes him quarterbacks open.
Can throw the ball to with that kind of trajectory where it's like, let's be real about it. Tua can't throw that pass. Not without touch and without
speed,
great timing, and
yeah,
Tua can't throw that pass. Like, the window for Caleb Douglas to be open was probably maybe a second, and mm-hmm. and I've sat here and I've wondered for quite a few practices now, and because I don't have the ability to review it, like, how is he open again? And he's open because Malik Willis can throw it places that defenders can't get to. And all you got to do is just get to the spot and catch the ball. Now, the problem I have with this is, and this is where people don't understand where I'm coming from my perspective, this man has one running back, one wide receiver, and one tight end. That's it. And five offensive linemen. I know Poupard is going to give me his diatribe. But name me another wide receiver right now, Poupard. That would be starters for another NFL team.
No, but Malik Washington would be on anybody's 53.
But again, name me another receiver that would be a starter for another NFL team.
Name me one 2024 New England Patriots wide receiver who would have been a starter for any other team, and how that kept Drake May from establishing the fact that he was going to be a third quarterback. Name me one wide receiver on the 2018 Buffalo Bills who would have been a starter for any other team that kept Josh Allen from showing the signs that he was going to be a stud quarterback. That's my point all along.
We're going to be all right. Malik, don't take care of it.
If Malik Willis is it, we will find out regardless of what he has around him.
I would like him to have more weaponry. I would like him.
Yeah.
For the overall good of the team and the one loss record, absolutely. But it's not going to keep you from finding out if he's the guy or not.
I would like him because soon enough, defenses are going to take Caleb Douglas away. And then what you going to beat me with? What you going to throw? Who you going to throw that pass to?
Jalen Tolbert, baby.
No, I'm
going to throw that pass.
Somebody.
Well, Omar, I'm going to be honest with you.
Hopefully defense, Chris Bell.
That's the wild card. That's going to open everything up even more. Chris Bell. But defenses trying to take Caleb Douglas away is going to be very hard because it's only can be done with a double team specific scheme. It's not like just a scheme zone. But that's going to open up the other strengths, like the run game. You know, you make that box light, you can have a long day that way. This team actually, even though we have no back end help, the front end, they already have a team on offense that isn't superior, but it can be productive. When you look at Malik, and here's what people need to understand. It's not
until they get an injury or two. Then,
well, yeah, we're shot all trash. Over the field. Yes, it's a big problem at that point.
That's my point, Poupard. I know you've done the studies, and I know you've found great exceptions of quarterbacks that have shown that they were the guy with trash around them. But let's acknowledge that there's trash around him. And
that's on this team. Yeah, nobody's arguing that.
Yes, the evaluation can be done, but I'm not a tank guy. Probably will never be a tank guy anymore.
Anymore.
Lessons learned. Lessons learned. Yes. I don't believe that Arch Manning is going to change football or revolutionize football. I don't believe in the Oregon quarterback. I've watched him up close and personal. Not a fan. So I don't believe that this Jeremiah Smith is the next Calvin Johnson. I'm sorry. Nice player. But so was Marvin Harrison Jr. I believe John Eric Sullivan has shown me, not sold, but the Caleb Douglas, that was a conviction. That was a conviction. Screw what you think. Screw what the world thinks. I know what I want. And I don't care what anybody says about it. Now, if this had missed, we would be like, here we go again.
Chris Greer 2.0.
But it didn't miss. And
as far as we can project so far.
Ain't no more breaks, Alan. Ain't no more breaks.
Can we wait till they play one regular season?
He's like this close to Preston Williams hype. Because Preston Williams was balling. Stop it, Poupard. Stop it. Jalen Waddle, who set all kinds of rookie records, because Preston Williams looked better than Jalen Waddle as a rookie.
And Caleb Douglas right now looks better than Preston Williams did. And
yes.
Jalen Waddle set a record because they kept throwing him wide receiver screens. So big book. I mean, what he averaged 9.5 yards per catch. I mean,
And Preston Williams did a lot of his dirty work on the boundary and contested catches. Like, yeah, he came down with it, you know, making those sideline catches.
Yeah.
Caleb Douglas is on crosses, everything. Preston wasn't coming across the middle.
My point
Sorry, Omar. I'm sorry, on cross. He had two targets yesterday, and they were both on the sideline. And
No. I'm talking about in training camp, a lot of the bootlegs and stuff like that. He's coming across, and they're hitting each other.
Pretty much every single catch he's made that I've seen in training camp has been near the sideline.
Where he came from to get there.
They have this play where they motion Malik Willis out and make him the slot receiver, make Caleb Douglas the slot receiver, and he's running crossers and drags.
Most of them, though, have been near the sideline. Yes, he's caught a couple of passes.
I'm just saying Preston Williams is staying outside that hash working. Yes. Yes. Preston sometimes come in and come across it and end up on the sideline. Yeah, you all right, Omar?
Yeah, I'm good.
Oh. This Preston Williams thing, man, I just think that we have us one. And let me tell you why I feel like he's a dog and you can be confident in him, because I don't think he lacks any ounce of confidence in himself. You see it on the field. It's like, okay, next time. One last thing, though, with Caleb Douglas, I think even we all should consider, maybe we shouldn't be as concerned about drops with him. Do we remember early in camp? There were a few drops, and we remember the scouting bio had that as a potential concern. But since then, has he really been having drops? Since then, he's had some clean practices.
Like he has, he's gotten better. It's still a concern. Let's not pretend like it's not.
I don't know.
I like the fact that he's naive to it and he's downplaying it and it's not an issue to him. Listen, ride with that confidence. I've always said this. Some of my favorite Dolphins players, they would get toe up and 5 minutes later, forgot it. Don't have a clue what you're talking about. And to be honest with you, I'm the same way. You could ask me 10 minutes after practice what happened. After it's gone, I don't even remember. I can't remember. So I'm even fine with it. But like when it surfaces in the game, okay, we can pay attention to it. But you know, I'm not gonna sit here and say he's Derek Higgins 2.0. Like,
well, that's a name from the past. Nice.
I used it in a recent column where I compared all of the rookie receivers that have, you know, all the rookie receivers that have, you know, flashed some talent, Chris Chambers. And, you know, this guy's he looked pretty good. I think he can be rookie of the year. I really do. So the question is, can he stay healthy?
Jeremiah Love is going to be rookie of the year unless he gets hurt. So, sorry, I hate to break it to you. There was one play. It was funny. Is actually there was one highlight that they showed from the back of the end zone, and they said this is the type of highlight where everybody will know immediately who he looks like. And you watch that play, and it's like it's Adrian Peterson. I mean, my God, he looks exactly the same.
Absolutely, I saw that.
Oh man, it's just immediately.
Yeah.
Anyway,
well,
1,000 people watching live. We appreciate you. Wow. We love you. Hit that like button.
How many?
Huh?
How many?
1,000 people. Nice. 1,000 people watching live. We love you.
Dolphins are so up right now, and the fans are feeling it.
Stop.
Omar,
you know when those backups came in, you was leaking.
Okay, you know what? Let's address something. Okay, you only need backups if your starters get hurt, you know, in many cases. We stretch an extra hour every day. We not getting hurt. We gonna have a healthy team this year. This gonna be one of the most healthy teams that the Dolphins have ever had. Okay,
Only 30 minutes of stretch. It's not an hour. Don't exaggerate.
You sure it feel like an hour and a half?
Let me make this point though. This TD, I'm gonna back you up on this. Despite what happened in this game, the totality of what happened against Washington, I think all Dolphin fans should feel better about the Dolphins now than they did at this time Friday morning. And it's not even close based on what we saw.
I agree with you. People don't understand my perspective. I still haven't, like, I'm not willing and have never been willing to tell people your team is going to suck. They're not going to be good. The first thing was identifying whether the quarterback has the talent and capability and intelligence and poise to get the job done. And that I've crossed off the list. It's there. He can play. He can play.
Super Bowl, baby.
Calm down. Calm down.
Calm it down now.
Now, can he play when he's under duress after the ball is snapped and the defender's in his face? Because
yes. It'll look better than it looked with Cam Miller yesterday, with all due respect to Cam Miller, who threw two picks.
Better, but can he execute?
Probably to as good a degree as most quarterbacks can when they're severely under duress. I think he's got the capability to do that.
And the throws he makes under duress are ridiculous. Like, and we haven't even really been able to see that full out. Yeah, you know.
Listen, y'all get that man somebody better than Tutu Atwell. Y'all get that man a backup.
Wow, Miami offensive. High school product crime on Miami High School product. That's it. Wow.
Listen. Don't act like Tutu wasn't bad yesterday, and hasn't been bad all of training camp.
Yeah, no. He only had one target in this play where he's cutting out, and yours is throwing like he's cutting in. And this is that we haven't gotten to Quinn Ewers, but why have there been so many plays where it looks like Ewers is not on the same page with his receivers?
Maybe the receivers aren't on the same. Correct. He kind of hinted that maybe the receivers aren't on the same page as the quarterback.
They're not getting to the spot.
What makes me think. Like that first interception, I watched Quinn the whole time in that pocket. Quinn had conviction. I'm going to place the ball where Malik placed the ball on the left side and my wide receiver is going to be there, and the wide receiver went right. I mean, went left. I mean, went right.
And you know the problem I have with that, though, Omar? Even if the receiver went the right way, he's going to be meeting a contested catch.
Yes. But so, and,
but,
generally,
but
so Douglas, is Malik.
Go to Caleb Douglas on that great catch.
Yes, generally, so is Malik, so is Caleb Douglas, and every pass.
But this
Malik
interception was dropped in the bucket to the plate, to the other plate. And Malik Willis's throw, if Caleb Douglas wasn't there, it would have been an incompletion.
Okay.
Jalen Tolbert is in the spot where we're assuming that maybe it was him. If Jalen Tolbert is in the spot we're supposed to be, it doesn't land in the breadbasket of the defender because Tolbert is there to grab it.
Yeah, I keep forgetting these spots.
I need to have that's a difficult thing. You can't have private conversations around Dolphins land right now. But you need to have some difficult conversations to figure out what's going on with Quinn. And unfortunately, I was not able to go into the locker room because, you know, when I did go into the locker room, it was cleaned out and the quarterbacks were gone. These are the things you got to make tough choices about what you do when you only, you know, the coverage you have, which is, you know, but I need to talk to Quinn. I need to figure out like what is going on here. And the deeper that I look at it now, okay, it's fair and justifiable to say Quinn is having probably the roughest camp of everybody that's there. Mm-hmm. Now, how much of it is him? How much of it is the trash offensive line? How much of it is him not having tight ends because the top two were injured for a good portion of camp? How much of it is guys running the wrong routes? And I'm not making excuses for him because he has looked bad. What I'm saying is there are other variables and factors contributing to that. And I have a hard time believing that guys running the wrong routes isn't at least 50% of the issue.
Bingo. I will say this, though, because you guys, you for Onez or Shad, I don't know who it was, asked specifically Jeff Hafley after the game Friday night about Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
And he mentioned we're going to keep working with him and all
my,
that.
My
he
question, did, by the way.
Was a good sure. question. Excellent job, Omar. The one thing he did not say that he could have said is, guys, I know we're focusing on the result of the quarterback. It's a passing game situation. It's not just on Quinn. He could have said that. He could have volunteered
Malik,
that.
Malik did. Malik said it's all 11.
Okay.
Malik said it's all 11, and while we take the brunt of the blame, you know, there are other factors and other guys who will be coached up based on that situation. And so,
real leader.
Again, I say it. There's nobody in training camp having a tougher training camp than Quinn Ewers. His confidence right now, I could see it before we left. Like, there was one play where, man, you could see he was down in the dumps after he'd thrown an interception. And Hafley had gotten on him. And you could just see him hanging his head. It's rough out there.
But the body language, though, that's what was killing me.
That's why you got to lift him up, which is why I loved Hafley's response. In these moments, you got to lift him up. Quinn is a better quarterback than what he has shown. But now we're at the point where, hey, if Richardson gets cut by Indianapolis, I'm not claiming him because I don't want the contract, but I'm definitely going to let him know we want you here. And then that means, Quinn, you might be cut. And it's not just Richardson that I got my eyes on. This scouting department, I wish I could have shown you. I should have taken a picture of all the scouts that were there. There were more scouts than media members that were there in the press box. And I thought to myself, like, all these teams are looking at these two trash teams as an opportunity to, I mean, and these guys were working. Like, they were with their binoculars watching stretch and watching warm-ups and watching, because there might be one guy, Zach Taylor, that you just say, Cam Good can play. Now, is Cam Good a NFL starting edge rusher? No. But Cam Good is a 12-year NFL veteran who's going to kill it for you on special teams, and in a pinch, he's going to do his job. Cam Good might be cut by the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins might look at the situation and say, hey, we can fit him on the practice squad. There could be one of the 31 teams that were there scouting the Miami Dolphins that say, Cam Good get cut, we're going to claim him. The Dolphins need to be out there on the grind. If they are not at every preseason game, trying, looking, thinking, this is the one player we want from this team, if they get cut, they are making a sad mistake, because this roster is about 15 to 20 players, and I'm including practice squad players, away from being a 500 team. Not a winning team. They don't have no depth. No depth at safety, no depth at cornerback, no depth at edge rusher, no depth on the offensive line, no depth at tight end, no depth at quarterback. Like, maybe the position I would give you depth at is, and I would argue, inside linebackers, the way they use T-Dot and Willie Gay, I have to wonder, something's up.
T-Dot was out there a little too long.
Huh?
T-Dot looked like he was out there a little too long.
Something smelled a little wrong. Something smelled like a little audition for somebody on the trade market, somebody who, you know, we want to get you a lot of film so you can go out there and get some work.
And Willie Gay flashed out again. He made his play, showed his speed.
Yeah.
I like what I saw from Ollie Gordon too, and from Jalen Wright.
Absolutely. Oh, Jalen Wright. Hold on now.
Other than the kickoff return, which was booty cheeks, but
if you got a booty cheeks moment, I got to call you booty cheeks.
I don't want him on kickoff returns, but
I don't want Tutu Atwell returning my kicks either, because that was not good enough.
Who do we have?
He had one good punt return. He had like a 20-yard punt return.
Listen,
Malik Washington is going to be your kickoff returner.
Yeah, probably, if you get a better wide receiver. Right now, he's receiver number two. So right. Can I afford for him to be a kickoff returner when I know AJ Henning is his replacement?
Hey, why was Tolbert, his playing time kind of stretched out? Anything there?
No, he's not.
He was out there even late in the third quarter. I believe I saw him.
Guys got to play. Somebody got to play. No, I can't even say that maybe they're trying to hide another guy, because there ain't no other guy. There are times when teams try to hide a guy. There ain't no other guy. There ain't. So
can't afford to hide nothing.
Yeah. And you're at the point where, why is T-Dot playing so long? Because there ain't nobody else.
Or they're showcasing him.
Yeah. And I wrote that, and it's probably not going to be popular, and I might get in trouble again. But it is what it is.
Like, did you write that they should trade him?
No, I wrote that. Why do Willie Gay and T-Dot play so much?
Oh.
Why? Answer the question. Why?
I'm telling you to look at that.
Talented. Well, ladies and gentlemen, real quick before we continue, because we still have a lot to talk about, we want to let you know about another amazing sponsor right here over on Dolphins Collective. Prize Picks. Play $5, get $150 using code HMA. You get $150 in bonus lineups if you win on that first $5 bet. Take advantage of the opportunity right now. Listen, man, I put something in for today's preseason. I got Josh Allen coming in, throwing over 34 and a half yards. You know they're going to get him a quick 50 and get him out of there. Deshaun Watson, I got him under 109 and a half yards.
109
yards for a preseason game.
I think the Browns, naming him the starter this week, he might play a full half because Shador is getting his first team audition next week. So I think this is a legitimate battle. You know, the teams that don't battle, all their lines are low. The teams that got battles going on, it's a little higher. But I'm still picking the under here. I'm going under.
That's a safe bet right there. What is it, 109.5. I put easy money.
Ooh, well, we'll see on Monday when we're back here if that was a safe one or not. But then I got Shedeur Sanders cleaning up on the back end with 45 and a half yards. I think that's actually easy because they definitely want to have him throwing the football. And Kyler Murray over 32 and a half, his debut in Minnesota, seeing if he can go out there and get that offense cranking, because this team's defense was phenomenal last year, and they're going to be trying to make moves like they did with Sam Darnold 2 years ago. So this is my lineup. I'm playing $5 to win $50. And if you do the same for your first bet, you can win up to $150, all right, in bonus play. Check out Prize Pick, link in the description of the video. And as always, make sure that you play responsibly, okay? If you have an issue with that, there are resources on the site that can help you. We encourage responsible, fun play. All right, man, let's keep it moving here. We got to do a quick pit stop on the O-line. Do you think we're going to be all right this year based off of what you've seen in camp so far in that preseason game last night? How encouraged or not even moved at all are you about the O-line? Start with Omar this time.
I've been covering the Dolphins for 19 years, and there hasn't been a single season that you didn't need an eighth offensive lineman.
Wow. Can focus on the starting offensive line for
and then Austin Jackson has played 60% of the games that he's been eligible to play. Mm. And then on top of that, how many seasons can we bank on Patrick Paul being completely healthy for?
Like Debbie Downer over here.
And then A'Ron Brewer is one of the smallest centers in the NFL. Phenomenal player.
All pro.
Yes. My point is you need three offensive linemen. And I wasn't even able to go through the film like I'm assuming Poupard did. And I don't get to watch the TV copy. And literally, the Washington Commanders have the absolute worst viewing point for the press box, and TV is nowhere to – the TV is hanging outside. It's literally like a 19-inch TV, and I can't see – hanging outside under the roof canopy, and I can't see nothing on – it's like 19 inches. Like, what am I going to see with a 19-inch TV 15 feet away from me? Like, Jesus Christ, get you a new stadium.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're building a new stadium, but Lord, it can't come fast enough. So I don't know how Andrew Meyer was offensive lineman number six. And if Poupard is saying that he struggled, yeah.
I know there are two offensive linemen I noticed very well, like I had a very good view, and there are two that I noticed specifically during the game, one of whom is I actually was looking at him. Jonah had himself a night.
Yeah.
Damn,
he looked good. And then Andrew Meyer on the other side was like bad. And the other thing I noticed also is DJ Campbell, the rookie sixth-round pick from Texas, who I know some fans were like very high on, he wasn't part of the second set of guards who were Josh Prebe and James Esther, the former defensive tackle from the Packers, which is not a good sign for DJ Campbell.
No. Don't do that.
I'm going to do that.
Game one, maybe we're trying to see if Esther needs to be cut and moved on from, which is
where. Then you would have Campbell in there instead of Prebe.
Maybe you want the young players to gain some confidence, because I'm sorry that Chris Johnson injury smell a little fishy to me.
You think they were worried he'd get lit up by McLaurin or Diggs? Then hold him out of one-on-ones. I mean, you can't. No, that's your first round pick, and you're going to be worried about his confidence.
Yes, I'm sorry. You know, in the exhibition, give him a day of rest. You know, in the exhibition, I don't care. I said what I said.
Oh, okay.
And we don't get an injury report. So, and I'm not in the training room, but I'm sorry. I was like this, waiting to see him versus McLaurin and Diggs. And my heart was hurt. And
one-on-one drill is so.
It's not just one-on-one. He didn't practice.
No, I fully understand that, but I'm not buying. If the idea is you're worried about his confidence being shaken going up against two good wide receivers, I'm sorry.
That's two good wide receivers, one of which who broke Noah Igbinoghi.
Sure.
Hold on. So are you scared that Chris Johnson is the next Noah Igbinoghi?
No, I'm not. Okay. And I like what I saw. But in my mind, I know Stephon Diggs broke Noah. Stephon Diggs and Russell Wilson. Noah was a good athlete. When Stephon Diggs was done with him, it was over. We knew it. Stick a fork in it.
And that was the one absolutely horrendous coaching move Brian Flores made. Beyond the off the field and the personal relationships, to me, sticking, if you remember that game, sticking Noah Igbinoghi, raw cornerback prospect, on Stephon Diggs and having X cover a speed guy with no moves, John Brown, instead of flipping them, to me was coaching malpractice.
Malpractice, and Noah was never the same.
He got turned around. He's still turning around looking for Stephon.
No, Noah was never the same. And I'm a little disappointed that I didn't get to see Chris Johnson versus those two, but he will have 17 more opportunities to see real NFL receivers. So, but his confidence yesterday come up a little bit. Now make sure we go on what day is it we practicing against the Giants? Thursday.
And by the way, before we put him in the Pro Bowl because of the highlight of his pass breakup in the end zone,
should have been an IG.
No. Can we also acknowledge the fact that it was an absolutely atrocious pass that was thrown 5 feet behind the wide receiver?
Should have been INT.
Yeah, but beyond that, it could have been a TD easily.
I don't know if it could have been a TD easily because I don't.
With a good throw TD.
Was Hartman really going to put it in a Malik Willis spot? Yeah, TD, I said that. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'm proud of you, Omar.
Hey. It is what it is. People think I'm a hater. When I see it, I see it. Like, that arm is.
Did you notice all five passes outside the hash?
Yeah.
Outside. Yeah. Like, and you know what? One thing that's so underrated that nobody talks about, Achane's going to run the football. But do you know we have what only five quarterbacks in the league consider an additional run game? The little five-yard outs to Malik Washington? Those are extensions of the run. When you have a quarterback who can throw those and have the arm strength to get it out, that's why Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. No. Do you know how important it is on those drives to start out second and five because of a quick five-yard out?
Every team does that. Come on, man. Seriously.
Go get a better
play. No, every team doesn't do it because if you got a weak arm quarterback, those are your pick sixes.
Come on.
They don't do it. Like, every team don't have that to their disposal.
All these plays from Malik Washington, the whole extension of a run, trash.
Man, listen, we grabbing those 5 yards quick.
TD, the Bills do it with Shakir. The Chiefs do it with Xavier Worthy. Yeah. The Eagles do it with who they used to do with AJ Brown. I'm sure they'll find somebody else. Come on,
it's a staple in their offense. It's something we're not used to. They get to get that second and five.
Tua lived off of that.
Are you crazy?
Yeah, Tua barely threw the
whole season in 2024. Tua lived off.
Tua lived off the guy running and sitting down in the zone out there by the hash, not the out route to the sideline as much. You had an occasional one. No, man, this is going to be a heavy dose of it, is what I'm saying. You're going to get.
I would rather you do something else. And I with somebody else.
Come on, man. These are drive establishers.
That's what a bottom 10 offense does. Sorry.
Stop.
That's what a if bottom 10 offense
does. Unless you have
if it's effective.
Unless you have a guy who can break it where it's not always going to be that 3 yard gain,
five yard tackle.
Yeah, I know. But that's why you put it in those guys' hands.
Ball off the HM. Sorry.
Thank you. Me too.
Sorry. I've watched that so much in practice, get nothing. I'm good. I don't want to see it.
Did it get something three times last night?
I'm tired of a receiver averaging 6.8 yards per reception. That that I'm good. I don't need it. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You can keep it.
I would rather Tutu Atwell run that, and he don't even know his routes. Like
I'm telling you that second and five is important. It's almost a guarantee for this offense. You what I'm warning you of, you're gonna see a heavy dose of it this season.
I know I am, and that's gonna make me want to puke.
Yeah, but we're gonna have sustainable drives.
No, you're not.
Yes, you got an A-chan in the backfield on second and five. Now bro, things open up.
You ain't got nobody breaking no tackles and making nobody miss. I'll pass.
Okay.
I'll pass. Hopefully Chris Bell come in here and do that. Because no thanks.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's gonna be pass.
All right. Hand the ball off to A-chan. Throw the ball to A-chan. No thanks.
If we scoring, does it matter? If we scoring, does it matter?
I don't want that play. I don't.
All right, y'all. Listen, man. let's dive in.
What happened?
I said, "Poop."
Do you want that play?
No. I'm sick of it.
We've watched it now for like 20 practices. It gets you nothing. Like
last night, all three of them were 5 yards or more.
They were not that exactly that type of play. There was like a 5 yard out. It's different than the quick throw to the line of scrimmage. That's what Omar and I are talking about.
Talking about the simple out, the quick out,
and the drag where he's in the flat. Nah, I'm good. Thank you.
No, I'm not talking about all the flat and bubble screen and all that mess.
Correct.
Oh no, I'm just talking about the out routes, the quick 5 yard out routes.
I am whipped apart.
Those are good HTD, but not over steady diet of it, because again, like Omar said, we're gonna be like puking.
Get somebody better to do it. I'm sorry, it's not.
Well, that play's not designed. I mean, that quick out to the sideline is not designed to get you. It's designed to get you a pretty safe 5 yards.
Yes,
logic. Yeah.
I'm telling you, Jeff Hafley is the type of coach that's going to have his staff in the offense. Get me second and five as much as you can. Get me second and five, and I feel good. We're going to move the chains. Two plays to get 5 yards with a chain.
At some point, though, you keep doing that, the cornerbacks are going to get in Malik Washington's face, and they're going to press him at the line, and good luck for him beating the press because he's not big.
Malik won't throw it then. That's all. It's just a part of the offense.
Correct. This is like everything is about
it's a song and a dance. Yes, it's a song and a dance. And when you take one thing away from them, another thing opens up. And yeah, my problem. And as I said again, and Poupard makes an excellent argument against it. It's a good counter argument. It's get him more than one weapon. Get him more than one weapon.
Like, I think we just got to be patient for that weapon to come and be healthy.
I don't want to be patient.
But Omar, you also know they're not doing it. You know they're not signing a big name guy.
I didn't say sign a big name guy. I said claim somebody.
But if you're claiming somebody, that means he was waived. So you're expecting him to come in and make a major difference.
Juju Brents is your starting cornerback who was waived. Greg.
Again, with all due respect, it's Juju Brents who played 7 games last year with 2 starts, who right now is, wait a second, what is he, injured again? I mean,
reason
guys get waived.
He's still your starter. Still, go get me an injured wide receiver, often injured wide receiver with some talent. Go get me a second round pick that flamed out somewhere. Go get me the Cameron Good of wide receiving cores. I get what you're saying, but it's better than what you got.
It might be better if it works out, but there's no guarantee. And that's what they've been doing.
I'd rather try than stay with what I got.
That's what they've been doing when they claim that the cornerback from the Steelers are thinking Amari Harvey is going to be better than what they have.
In my opinion, Cole Strange saved the Dolphins season. Like,
they were 7-10. There was not a whole lot of saving, but I mean,
probably Dolphin fans would look at this as a bad thing, but it kept you from being 4-13.
Maybe he still was pretty. Again, if you believe in Pro Football Focus, I believe he's still pretty lowly rated. I know you hate him, but
yeah. But you put him in and he stabilized your offensive line. Go find Cole Strange.
Okay. He was better than Keon Smith or Daniel Brunskill.
Exactly. The guys that you've been developing for 3 years, a guy showed up on your doorstep after you claimed him off a practice squad, and he was better than the guy you've been developing for 3 years. That's my point.
Okay.
They're out there. Go find them.
Except that here's the thing is, no offense to Mr. Strange, and don't hate me for that, are we going to say that Cole Strange was good or he was just better? It was just a slight improvement over what the Dolphins had.
Slight improvement. I didn't say you're going to find anybody good. I said you need to find improvement because this depth, there might be 30 players on this team who belong in the NFL. Might be. 35.
That's all we need, baby. That's all we need. All right, y'all. Listen, we're going to get into the super chat soon. But before we do, I wanted to ask the gentleman, is there a veteran quarterback out there that the Dolphins may be able to trade for?
No,
where there are potential.
Zero chance.
No trade at all.
Be guys cut.
It makes zero sense.
They're going to be guys cut. Go claim one. Cleveland's going to cut a good quarterback. Go claim him.
Who are they going to cut?
Dylan Gabriel.
You want Dylan Gabriel?
Well, you said they're going to cut a good quarterback.
Taylor Green.
No, I'm with that.
They're gonna cut somebody.
Yes, because they have four. My guess is they're gonna cut Dylan Gabriel, and no, thank you.
I'm not a fan either. But can he be better than Cam Miller?
They're not keeping three on the 53.
I know that, but I'm let's hypothetically speak. Okay. Taylor Green. You're gonna have to claim him and keep him for a minute.
If the Browns wound up,
are you telling me that this roster can't carry three quarterbacks for a month? Because you act like
this roster can carry whatever it wants.
Not for this roster can carry whatever it wants. So go find some talent. Go claim some talent. You are 10 players away from being a legit NFL team. Go find them. Go claim them.
One veteran quarterback that speculated that might be
a contending NFL team. I'm saying like a 500 NFL team.
Yeah. There's some options out there. There's one veteran quarterback that's rumored this morning they could get cut. And I think the Dolphins, he's very accurate.
Mason Rudolph.
No, Tua Tagovailoa.
Oh, stop. Just stop.
Y'all wouldn't bring him back? If you wouldn't bring him back?
You're already paying for him.
All right, man, we're going to get into these super chats. So for those who sent the super chat in, thank you so much. Listen, if you want to join the membership of the channel, make sure you hit that join button, get the fresh, cool emojis, and be in the know right here on Dolphins Collective. Right in your comment section, there is a join button for all those who want to join the channel membership. We appreciate it in advance.
And hit the like button. Here's the importance of the like button.
And the hype button.
It's a hype. Okay, whatever. It improves our algorithm and gets it more prominent to people when they go on YouTube, and we'd appreciate it. We'd appreciate it because then we don't have to pay for it. Because you got to pay for your placement on YouTube. So
punch that like button right now. Having 1,300 people live right now in here, there's no reason we shouldn't have over 1,000 likes, especially if you're loving the conversations that we continuously bring your way. So, and I know a lot of people hit us up in messages that they appreciate the show. We appreciate you for watching the show. All right, we're going to get into the super chats, but make sure you hit that hype button when the video is over. When the video ends, you can go back to YouTube and they have a new feature called hype. All right. We've made the top charts in a lot of our videos for hype, but what it does, YouTube's like, this is hot. We want to make sure everybody knows. So when the video is over and you rewatch it, you'll see in the comment section, there's a hype button where if you hit hype, it adds points to it. And you climb the leaderboard where YouTube just pumps it out even further to people. So it's pretty cool, man. It's a way that you can show some love to the channel by just making sure the word of mouth is the most powerful way to get information out. So thank you in advance. All right. All right. Here we go. It's D. Griff. All right. With this roster, I trust John Eric Sullivan, McDaniel, Butch Berry, and Willis. I'll I trust all of these guys over what we have now. Backup O-line QBs never look this poor under Mike. I'm sorry. Well, Mike created this situation with spending all that money to leave us in this position and not have depth. We don't have money to have all the depth in the world and the great players.
I disagree with you on that. And let me explain why I disagree with you on that mindset. The whole mindset about the dead cap and the money that we can't spend, you paid your credit card bill now. It's already paid off. Now, I'm not saying that you should create more dead cap, more spend more irresponsibly. That's not what I'm saying. But all this talk about what you've spent and how much money you don't have, that conversation is over. You have $16 million in cap space, which is 19th in the league. It's a respectable amount. It's what the Dolphins have just about annually had at this point in the year in their break in case of emergency situations. That's what they've had for the last 15 years since the Don Aponte era. Next year, you'll have $88.7 million in cap space. I think that's top five in cap space in the NFL. Now, and that doesn't include what you can carry over when you don't spend that 16, that gets added to the tab too. And that doesn't even include the restructures that you could do. That doesn't include the extensions that you do. That doesn't include the shakedown money. So you're looking at basically $100 million in cap space. You're not even going to spend the $100 million in cap space. So don't sit here and make the excuse that we can't add players to our roster.
We can't right now, though, Omar. We can't right now.
You can.
So there's nothing
stopping you from adding some player who is true, some player with a draft status who's making $4 million this season, because somebody will cut a player who's got playing time escalators that were he played because he played under an old coach. This is a new coach. He's going to fall out of favor because he's making too much money, but he's a good NFL player, and he's going to cost you $4 million in cap space. That's going to reduce only the top 51 salaries matter. So you
can find it
starts.
What'd you say?
Not when the regular season starts. That's only for the when you get to the cusp of 53, that top 51 no longer applies.
So what, 53 apply?
Yes.
And practice squad apply?
And the NIR guys.
Okay, I got to do some.
So you feel like we can go get a start a backup that can come in and win some games? Three additional O linemen that's considered good depth, and another wide receiver, and all the things that we need on boundary with $16 million.
Yes, $16 million. Yes, depending on what you're inheriting from a contractual standpoint, depending on veteran. Here's the thing: veterans are going to be cut because teams don't want to guarantee their contract for the full season. So, if you really want somebody, you sign them week one and guarantee their contracts. Now, if you don't want to do that, which I don't think this team is going to want to do that, you wait till week two and you make competitive offers and you bid for the Willie Gays of the league.
But and is that going to fix it?
Huh? The point that needs to be brought up, though, is when if you're going to claim a rookie off waivers who might get in the cuts of 53, the bulk of those guys – rookie contracts is a signing bonus. The base salaries are usually pretty low, and the signing bonus has already been taken care of by the original team. So those are the guys you would want to get because they're also young players who perhaps have some potential.
My point is, on August 30th, this is going to be like another draft for John Eric Sullivan. He's going to have a board. He's going to have – and he doesn't have to wait in line for – yes, he does have to wait in line for the teams that are worse than him. He's 11th in the line. Go claim who the hell you want because you got nothing here. Like, who are you protecting here?
Okay, hold on. Because we're talking about how bad the offensive line looked. To me, on the backups yesterday, the one I noticed in the second line, and the rookie free agents, the first-year players – Not good. And I noticed that Andrew Meyer wasn't the only one. He's the one who stood out to me. One guy I didn't notice one way or another is Charlie Heck, who was signed to be your top swing backup tackle yesterday. I have noticed him in practice early on. It was really, really rough.
And
let's say the last week or so, he's looked a hell of a lot better.
Yes.
So it is stabilized. Immediately ready to say, this guy
No, right?
Become Larry Borum 2.0, and Larry Borum 2.0 was perfectly fine as a backup tackle.
I love Larry Borum now. Larry Borum would run circles around these guys.
Well, that's promising, though, just to hear another guy I believe that can, you know, be solid for us just in case we need him. Josh Smith, been a member for a year, said hopefully Malik faces second team defenses all year. Oh, here we go. But these people weren't using the same energy when a lot of our starters were out enjoying practice either. But anyway. All right, man. Thank you, Alan. Thank you. Call Titans, trade Dotson for Will Levis.
No, thank you. One, Malik Willis lost the competition battle. Will Levis. Will Levis is not coming here.
It's also not, but it's not the same Malik Willis it was as a rookie.
It's not. But you know the politics of quarterbacks.
Correct. But the truth is, I don't know if the Dolphins do wind up looking to trade Tyrell Dotson. A sixth-round pick maybe you get for him. I don't know that.
No, I think you trade him. I'm not proposing this, but you go trade him for – Dallas needs Tyrell Dotson. I'm sorry.
You get what for him?
Yeah, go get me a right guard.
Why would a team trade a right guard?
Because they got a surplus of right guards.
Do they now? Okay.
I'm just saying hypothetically. Yeah, okay.
That's what they should be looking for.
Remember when we traded Dallas many years ago? There was an offensive lineman. We traded some our backup for their backup. It was an offensive lineman. I forget what year it was. It was during the Mark Colombo era. And that guy ended up being
Holy moly.
Mm-hmm. And that guy ended up being a starter for Miami for like half the season. People are going to trade their surplus. If you have a surplus of something, people are going to trade for it because they got what you want. And you don't have to go through the waiver wire.
And they got to be scavenging to know who has what. So that's why what you were saying earlier with these scouts and stuff, it is another offseason for us in about 3 weeks from now.
It's like the draft. I don't know why people don't get that. This is like John Eric Sullivan will have an opportunity to add 13 more new players to his team. They could be the undrafted rookie that you wanted to sign that you didn't get they didn't make the highest offer. Some team could try to put him on the practice squad. Come on down. Let me claim you. Like it could be.
But let's not pretend that it's an automatic right there improvement. Yeah. It's a shot at taking a look at different players. That's what it is.
Absolutely. No. I'm not. If you get 13 players, two might be good. I'm realistic here. That like you know you've done the study of what the waiver wire has produced the last couple of years, but there are talents there, and there are talents on practice squads that you can go claim and supplement your roster. This team during the Mike McDaniel era, that was one of my main complaints. If you were on the 53, you were safe. Like, you get comfortable. Like, buy a house because you're not going anywhere. That I hated that whole environment and culture.
All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to get through the super chats. I know Omar got to go to the airport soon, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I do.
All right. All right. You people haven't gave Jonah enough credit.
Sorry, hey, man. I did. No, I did.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we did.
I didn't play very well.
But he's playing well, which is amazing, by the way. I feel bad for the Falcons fans who don't know what a real QB is. Wow. Y'all stop taking shots at this.
Falcons fans who don't know what a real QB is.
Send T-Dot to Minnesota for QB3 for Carson Wentz or NAB Phillies QB3 Tanner McKee via PickSwap. Or for a six-round pick, or try for Las Vegas QB3 Aiden O'Connell.
O'Connell's not better than Quinn Ewers. Sorry.
Quinn Ewers, or if you want to make him number three,
that's fine, but he's not better than Quinn Ewers.
If the Dolphins stay healthy all season, I could see us with 8 wins. If they have injuries in key positions, then it could be a rough season. Love y'all. It's going to be rough if any like rough injury or two. It's going to be rough. But if we stay healthy, 8 wins.
11.
You better add three. All right. Here we go. And by the way, I'm back up to 10 wins from 9.5. I'm back to 10. All right. Josh Smith said, love the catch and throw by them. Not sure I like the decision to throw it on third and five. Was there a higher percentage play to be made, HN underneath?
I don't recall.
Well, all 22. We'll see. We shall see if we're going to do it that way. All right. When Bell lined up opposite Douglas, hard to double team both by defenses. Hey, we got to know what version of Bell we're getting. Let's not act like we haven't seen him on the field. I'm excited about it. I feel like I know what he's going to be, but we got to at least see him move on the field before we start, you know, getting to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Great first team showing. However, Quinn has officially been downgraded to Omar's category of booty cheeks. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man.
No denying, Quinn has been looking booty cheeks. I mean, we, and that's the thing. I get it. This is the first opportunity for fans to see the team. But yeah. What did you see that we didn't tell you?
Good point.
That Caleb Douglas is worth the hype. Caleb Douglas is worth the hype.
We've been telling you that.
That Malik is elite. Boy, Alan Moore. All right, Frosty Four. The only thing I have questions about is the D. We probably won't see most of the starters on D until regular season. I think they're the biggest unknown. If the D is serviceable, it will be a good season.
Well, they were missing guys because of injuries yesterday. Zeke Biggers, Jordan Brooks has a little some. Jordan Juju Brinson play. Who else? I think those are only three who didn't play. So it's three of them. It's not like the whole. And Dante Trader Jr., sorry.
You Zach Sealer, not Zeke Biggers. Zeke Biggers?
Yeah. Oh, no, Zeke Biggers didn't play either. Zach Sealer forgot. So that's five. Zeke Biggers did not play. Mm. According to the game book. Unless the game book is wrong, he did not play.
All right. I didn't know that.
Garp Gump said only 10% gave hit the like button. Do better, folks. Yeah, everybody got it. Ted Hurst, six targets, two receptions, had a drop in a TD pass strip from hands and end zone. Critics say what?
Critics say it was the preseason opener.
Critics say enjoy the wide receiver you have and stop worrying about the one that they passed up. And that's where that's where Dolphin fans go wrong. I said from the beginning, they like the man. Take who you like. Take who you like.
You like who you like.
You like who you like.
Hey, somebody knows. Somebody knows that. All right.
Hey, listen. Listen, be very sensitive about what you say because somebody important is watching the show at the present moment. So.
Dude, you know me. I haven't finished my work working on my friendship skills. So.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. Kelly said, knowing it is a rebuild year and what that entails, didn't make it any easier to stomach when finally seeing it live.
What you saw was a team that lacked depth. Mm-hmm. That's what you saw.
Yeah.
And you know that. You know that.
That has problems offensively.
And a team that's going to play a lot of rookies who are going to make a lot of mistakes. And those mistakes are going to cost you games. You know that.
All right. I get upset seeing these bad reports from uneducated reporters. Won't say who, 70 yards, that the Fins will be an easy win. I think they'll be underestimated by a lot of teams. This team will not roll over and lose.
They will not roll over. They'll be a tough out. Doesn't mean they're going to win a ton of games. They will be a tough out.
That's all we're asking for, really.
Toronto's Dolphins, where they're disciplined and they don't beat themselves and they're physical to the line of scrimmage, you give yourself a chance every single Sunday.
No celebrating field goals, though.
And you give your quarterback a chance to show that he's special. And that's up to him whether he's going to be or not.
With two more weapons. Give me two.
He can show he's special without it, Omar. That's the whole point. It could make us say we know we got our guy. Because if he's special with this, we know we got our guy.
Give me two more weapons.
That's beautiful, you know. But I knew Lamar Jackson was the guy because give him two more weapons, but he kept making it happen. Josh Allen, same thing. Give him another weapon, but he would make it happen regardless. That's what Malik has to be. That's the bar. He has to show that. But we'll see. Malik Willis looked great, but John Eric Sullivan needs to make signings. Man. Yeah,
that's a Shane 99.
You know what this is, where people are like, hey, we need to do this, we need to do that, because you see light at the end of the tunnel and you want to actually pursue it. You really want this team to be better because you feel like you got something in areas that you didn't have it in the past. I think that's what it is.
Different makers or good contributors just fall out of trees.
Which is true. It's tough. Joey, we appreciate the love. Said Ewers gave up because he was up next, and they fired Mikey, then brought in Malik. Looks like he's trying to get cut so Mikey can pick him up in L.A.
Nah, I doubt that. My good. That ain't
happening. But Mike was going to move forward with him this year.
According to Darren Waller. According to what Darren Waller.
No, he was not. Yeah.
That's what Darren Waller said on a podcast.
And Darren Waller's is the ultimate authority, huh?
Okay.
No, but why would he say McDaniel told him he was moving forward with Quinn Ewers?
Okay.
Idle Man said J Rod only one tackle, no assists, saw lots of action.
How many poor
snaps? First game, in my opinion.
They could, but I think it was like 10 or 11.
Didn't he have a pass break? Back down
on the blitz. It wasn't him. It was the D lineman. I thought it was Zeke Biggers, I have folks telling me they thought it was Robert Beal Jr. Robert Beal Jr. does have a pass defense.
No, that was Robert Beal Jr. with the pass deflection.
Okay, that's the one where Jake.
I don't think that was on the play. Okay, I don't know. I don't care. I can't see the replay, and I got to head to the airport.
No,
all right, Omar, you out of here?
Listen to Omar respond to TD's question. You read that, TD.
Listening to Omar's response on TD's question on the O-line is like Mike McDaniel taking a press, talking in the press, excuse me. A whole lot of nothing but beating around the bush.
I don't remember the question.
Frosty being a little frosty there.
Yeah. Over 1,200 views. Hit the like button. Come on, guys. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Frosty.
Love you all. Omar, I like you. LOL. Just kidding. Love you, too.
Notice he said he loves us, but he likes you. So he loves us more.
I got to make it. Hold on. Let me call my Uber. Look, I got to make it to the airport.
All right. Let me see. Okay. I think I got it.
Go ahead, read it. I'll read it then. With Sully's father being a wide receiver, Phil Jones, thank you very much. With Sully's father being a wide receiver guru, I trusted the pick. People think he was drafted too soon. If he keeps getting better and Chris Bell is all that is advertised, Malik will have two good wide receivers. Now just bring Jonnu back. Now with you on everything.
Back. I'm still here. I'm about to leave.
Man, Jonnu, man, I don't know. That would be a nice addition, but we'll talk about that next time. Hey, y'all, thanks for the content. Who is Allen's op? Omar has Flores, Doug has Herbert, and TD has Atlanta Falcons.
What does op mean, though? My
op, man. Opposition. Hey, listen.
Who is my opposition?
Yeah, who we got to pull up on, Allen?
That's a great question.
Who we got to drive 70 yards on?
What coach have you had the biggest beef with?
I don't know. I don't have no beef in anybody.
Allen don't have those problems, Omar.
I'm trying to have a beef-free season. That's what I'm trying to have.
Beef-free. Oh, my gosh. No, isn't Jimmy G still available?
In your mouth?
What'd you say?
No meat in your mouth?
All right,
buddy. Let me read this next.
All right, guys, I gotta go.
All right, Omar, we'll see you Monday.
Not so far, Omar.
Oh, no, that ain't it. All right. Isn't Jimmy G still available? One of the most stupid things the last guy did was ignore backup QB. I am having flashbacks. Ours are cheeks. Oh, man.
No, Jimmy G is still available. He was contemplating retirement, then he wasn't. He still hasn't signed with anybody.
There's options, though. There are options and creative ways to get somebody in the building that can be really serviceable, that has experience. I'm late. How did Tua do? I don't know. You got to go check out the Atlanta Falcons timeline to see how he did, man.
3 for 5, 22 yards, fumbled a shotgun snap at the fall on it, 2 drives, 2 punts.
Looked a little weird under pressure. Honestly, yeah. But Jake said, should we try to trade for Brian Thomas Jr.? Everybody keeps saying that. Why would they give him away?
Brian Thomas Jr. Yes. If they put him up for trade and you can get him without giving up a premium pick, absolutely you trade for Brian Thomas Jr.
Well, Miami and Thailand just became a member of the channel. Salute to you. We appreciate you joining the family. If you want to join, ladies and gentlemen, hit that join button. And you also have the privilege of gifting memberships to other people who can't join. All right. All right. Wouldn't it be ironic is the Finns brought in Levis as backup? They're not going to do that.
Yeah, it would be, but not happening.
All right. So are we looking at T-Dot and Gay trade for players?
Maybe. They're going to explore options. And because right now they have a little bit of a surplus at linebacker, assuming they like Jackson Woodard enough to keep him. And then if you're going to cut Dotson or Gay anyway, you can get a player or a late round pick for him. Why not? Mm.
Backup QB isn't a need for this season and roster. I think you're coming from a place of we're not going to be good anyway. But I disagree. And I think we won't need him because Malik Willis is going to stay healthy. I know there's the quarterbacks get hurt, but I don't want to put that on Malik Willis until he starts having banged up issues and missing weeks.
Correct. And if he misses a lot of games, I do think you're looking at a really bad record regardless. So the point, there's a decency to the point there. It's a decent point.
All right. TD, you're awesome. Alan, you are the GOAT and Omar King of Tennessee. Oh, my God.
I got her.
Thank you so much. TD theory might be right. Ewers might be used to the spot throwing. It's a lot going on there. It got to be figured out. And lastly, Tua played Denver first team defense, just saying.
With the first team offense. So, okay. Yeah. It's not like he was surrounded by second team Atlanta players. I mean, his three completions were to Kyle Pitts, who I'm assuming is going to start for the Falcons. So, yeah, no, not a good excuse.
Yeah. But let the man get to the regular season, see if he can make some things happen, man. Tua, I think that he's going to do well in Atlanta, well enough to win some games. But we'll see how he does long term. But that's their business. We're on to bigger and better things over here in Miami now because we have a legitimate quarterback who has the opportunity to be top seven this year. That's right. I said it. All right, y'all. Listen, that's right, Alan. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Fins up no matter what. Malik Willis for MVP. Malik Willis has it. Malik Willis is the man. Listen, Alan, you're going to have to get a bigger one soon. It's just the legend just keeps growing.
Bigger point type next time.
All right. Well, thank y'all for tuning in. We had 1,340 people in here at one point, but you got to let other people know about the channel. That way we can make sure that we keep our Dolphins family together right here. All right. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. We will see y'all on Monday with another great one. Doug should be here, and we all will be here, so it'll be a good time. We'll see y'all Monday. Peace. We are out.